Welcome to Value Through Vulnerability. This is a podcast dedicated to putting the human back into humanity, and I'm your host, Gary Turner. I'm also the founder of Hexo Change, and Hexo Change is a transformational change practice dedicated to helping you connect to yourself, to others, and to systems at large in a more meaningful way, thus helping us turn around our workplace and planetary challenges and accelerating how alive we all feel in every aspect of our lives. This track is called Kaleidoscope and was created for me personally and for Hexo Change by Peter Griffiths, one half of the amazing Mind Takeaway. I hope you enjoy this exploration and please do share it on your social platforms so we can bring more humanity to more people. Hope to speak to you soon. Welcome to Value Through Vulnerability. This is a podcast dedicated to putting the human back into humanity. And today I'm very excited to be joined by Humans First founder and co-conspirator on this podcast, Mike Vacanti. And we're also joined by an awesome human being in Adam Posner, who is founder and managing director of NHP Talent Group, a boutique New York-based staffing firm specializing in talent acquisition for senior level roles within marketing, media, product and content creation and startups. He's also the host of the podcast. If you haven't heard that yet, go and listen. He's also dealing with some really meaty topics at the moment, which is brilliant. And he's also showcasing experts to help harness your inner tenacity to drive your life and career forward. Welcome to the podcast, Adam. How are you doing?
Gentlemen, it's been a long time coming. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Adam, for the education on how to use a microphone. I'm feeling like a pro all of a sudden.
Just the tips, man.
Well, look, thanks for coming along and joining us today. It'd be lovely for those that may not know you who are joining us on this podcast platform today. Would you mind just giving us a bit of a lowdown? You know, how did NHP come into being? You know, business owner, parent?
Yeah.
Hear a bit more of your backstory.
It's been a journey. So as I like to say, you know, long story long, born and raised in New York or something I take a tremendous amount of pride in. I love my city. I love everything it has to offer. It's been a tough time for everybody, especially for us New Yorkers. We've been through a lot, but we're coming out of this on the other side. So real quick, you know, 15 years working in advertising and marketing is something I knew I always wanted to do. Coming out of college, I work agency side, all different ad agencies all over New York. I work brand side at Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, American Express, all working in acquisition marketing, direct to consumer, e-commerce, social media. And about 5.5 years ago, I landed what I thought was my dream job over at VaynerMedia, working for the great Gary Vaynerchuk, Claude Silver over there. And I learned pretty quickly within the first month or so that the grass is not always greener on the other side. And what I thought was going to be my dream job just turned out just not to be the right job at the right moment. There was a lot of factors going on in my life. You know, that's a conversation for another podcast, but ultimately, not the right place, not the right time. I did not bring my A game, and ultimately I did not do what they hired me to do, and I lost my job and I got fired. And that was a detrimental moment in my life at the time, because as anybody knows, getting fired versus getting let go is tough, right? Because there's a lot of blame externally and internally. It's a moment of, you know, introspection to really understand, you know, what did I do wrong here? You know, what happened? And then the real hard part is going back to your loved ones, going back to your friends and family and having that shame and stigma of getting let go. So it was a real low point in my life. But that day that I got let go, you know, Gary and I have a pretty good relationship. And that day we sat for about an hour and he said, you know, the most important words of advice to me were stop focusing on the things that you suck at and double down on your strengths. And at the time I thought he was just trying to get me out the door. But it wasn't, you know, we really dug into it and we explored the things that I'm great at, the things that I really am not great at. And all roads pointed to, you know, recruiting. You know, I am a connector. I am a builder. I am a networker. I am a relationship facilitator. That's what I do best. And I jumped in head first at the age of 35. I literally pivoted careers. And that was scary. That first day when I walked into the recruiting firm that hired me, a great firm that took a chance on me, it was scary. I had to start a new job, bottom of the totem pole, day one, rookie, right? There's like a bunch of those baseball movies, right? With the old guy who's been in the minors for years, finally gets a call up to the big league. And the analogy is, you know, he knows how to swing, he knows how to catch, he knows how to hit, but he's just got to step up into the big leagues. And that's what I did. I learned a brand new industry. I learned the art and science of recruiting, and I accelerated quickly, and it really tapped into all my core strengths, all my values, and absolutely loved it. You know, went through the recruiting roller coaster, worked at a couple of search firms. And then about 3 years ago, I was working at a search firm that, you know, it just wasn't the right chemistry. And I came home one night to my wife and I was like, listen, like, things aren't going well here. I don't enjoy working, you know, in this environment. And she said, why are you still working there? You could do this all yourself. And literally it was a 30-second decision. And I decided to launch my own business, which is NHP Talent Group. And real quick story on the name here, because everyone always asks, what does that mean? I was playing around with names. I was like Rocket Talent, Star Recruiting, all these crazy kind of names that were so cliche. And again, you know, my wife, who is my rock and my advisor, she says, what is the most important thing in your life to you? Right? What is your North Star? What is your why? Why do you do everything? And at the time before my son was born, you know, it was my daughter, and that's her initials, Nina Harrison Posner, NHP Talent Group. So I know every time I look at my email, every time I put this hat on, every time I see that logo, I know exactly the why. And it's a literal reminder of why I do everything that I do. And it's what drives me and what keeps my flame lit. And as they say, the rest is history. And, you know, you summed it up there. I manage NHP Talent Group. We're a boutique staffing firm. And I don't like to use the word firm, even though I just said it, but we're much more of a consultancy, right? We move from the contingency model to more of a focus on partnering with our clients to help them accelerate their business and operate as a white label extension of their in-house talent team.
Beautiful. I'll tell you, well, probably one of the most succinct, clear introductions. If that was me, I'd still be wandering around on the first bit. So well done, Adam. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Brilliant. And what's really fascinating for me, I just want to start with your daughter's initials in your company. I just think there's something beautiful in that in terms of keeping you grounded in those moments where things get challenging. Like, do you find that? Does that really help you in those moments where you have those up and down days?
It absolutely does, because as we all know, you know, it's a grind. All right. Having your own business, you know, working for yourself. And ultimately, as you gentlemen know, when you have your own business, you are ultimately responsible for the success and failure of it. When you work for a company and when you have a boss, listen, people hide in companies. You have good days, bad days, right? Like, you're still getting that consistent paycheck. But when you operate a business for yourself and you're solely responsible, the breadwinner, every penny that comes in rests on your shoulders, that's a lot to carry. And that's something, you know, I never knew, because I've never owned my own business. And having these letters in front of me is always a constant reminder to keep pushing, keep moving. Don't stop, right? I mean, listen, even on those rough days, even when those days when you know you need to take a break, right, and you need to get back in it, man, like, you just look at it and, you know, those letters are there for me. But the part that actually concerns me is when my 2-year-old son gets a little bit older and he finally realizes that these initials are for his sister and not him, he's going to get pissed off. So the Oliver Group is something that I've been thinking about for the next brand extension. My son Oliver's 2. So when he gets a little bit older, we'll have the next company up and running.
Well, if there's not a bigger impetus for growth, you've got it there, Adam.
I know. I just don't want to hear it from him.
What's going on for you, Mike?
Well, that was the perfect, you know, that was the first thought I have as you were saying that is that's the extension, right? So whatever, you know, stage 2 is Oliver. So that's awesome.
Yep, we got it.
You know, Adam, it's that journey into, you know, jumping in both feet, right? That's where some of us find our way to it out of necessity, some out of desire, right? So everybody that makes that leap kind of had their own path to it. But what's so cool about the way that you share that is the you know, you hit the low so succinctly. And really owning that is just such great permission for everybody. You know Michael, my son, right? And he's you know Michael. So he was early on in doing this himself, walked away from his, you know, his degree, his master degree in finance, and, you know, working for PwC, all that, and just said, absolutely, I'm not spending the rest of my life doing that. So he takes off on his journey to, you know, nutrition and fitness training. Along that way, he wrote a blog about, you know, things he learned from his dad. And one of those things on there was he recounts a story when I got fired from a job. And he said, there we were standing around the kitchen island. And, you know, it's as he, in his words, my grandma, my mom, my sisters. And, you know, dad walks in and he said, you know, I lost my job today. And the way he told the story, Adam, was, my dad was looking down at his feet. I had never seen my dad look down at his feet when he talked. And so you hit something so big there, right? That shame that goes with it. And although I wasn't maybe not cognizant, that's where I was. That's absolutely how I was showing up. And so that journey you tell about stepping through that, finding what's important to you, doubling down on your strengths, and then where you've taken that and where you take it, I just want to give you kudos for, because I know the impact you make on not only those people that, not only the clients that you do the work for, the people whose lives you help transition because you bring that full experience to them. You know, I'm just giving you props and kudos. But even more so, how now you do the outreach with your show to bring that message so boldly to many. And it's...
Thank you.
It's phenomenal. And what I love is it positions so well into where we are today, right? We're in this crazy fluctuation point. And, you know, 20 million people are out of work. It's going to be the, you know, the great job exchange coming up as people either don't have a place to go back to or look for someplace new.
And they pivot.
And in that pivot, we're also looking at remote works in play now. So you don't have to jump the, you know, orange line or the blue line or the, you know, number 22 and flow into a building. You can work from any city in the country. So people are going to outreach for the best talent in the world.
It's a new game. It's a new game. But you hit on something that's pretty interesting that, you know, I'd love to hear perspectives too. We've all been at the bottom, right? And I think when we're at the bottom, you know, you have all these people around you trying to tell you, no, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. But I truly, and I don't want this to come out the wrong way. I think at a certain point of everyone's life, I think it's important to hit rock bottom, right? To know where you never want to go again, where you never want to be. But when you're at the bottom and you're looking up at that well, right, and it's a mile high, but you can start to see the light, it's not until you take that journey. It's not until you climb up and know that effort and work, right, and all that tenacity you got to pull to get yourself up until you get to the top of that well and you're looking back down. And I think that's a critical point, you know, in my life, and it happened a couple of years ago when I really launched the business and I started to see things coming in, where I'm like, holy shit, right? Like, I wouldn't be in this position today if I wasn't at that bottom. But I think when you're at that bottom, you don't know that. And the last thing you want to hear is some jerk like me telling you, hey, man, just stick with it. You got this, right? You don't want to hear that crap. So I try to lead by example, right? I try to say, hey, listen, I've been there. I've been at the bottom. And by no means am I at the top. I'm going to have a long journey to go, but at least I am level now. I am even, right? That's where I feel I'm at right now. I'm even and I'm starting to climb.
I'd love to jump in there, Adam, because I think sure. You just spoke really importantly for me. So I also have been let go in Millennium New Year's Eve. I remember it because we were doing the whole mission testing. It was Millennium Bug, whatever that was meant to be. Or the world's going to end on 2000. And of course, it all clicked over. It was
fine. Yeah, it was fine. Yeah.
But my recruitment practice is actually recruitment. I was recruiting test engineers and I was really, really bad at it. And I was literally let go New Year's Eve of Millennium New Year.
That's terrible.
But I think, and it was tough. Like you say, it is a tough experience. But I think the point I wanted to pick up on and what you just described, Adam, was the role modeling. So rather than just saying, you could do this, or here's the advice, or here's the recommendation, it was, no, I'm actually going to role model it. And hopefully what people see in me will inspire them, rather than me having to write something that hopefully they'll believe, and then that might inspire them. And I think there's something deeply profound in that, Mike, for me, that role modeling piece.
Yeah, I try, man. I try to lead by example. And it's tough too, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who have been through this journey, and it's hard for them to vocalize it, and it's hard for them to put it out there. And I just want to show them that it's okay. And it took me, and I'll be honest, it took me a solid almost two and a half, three years to change my narrative from saying I got let go or I left to the word fired. Right? There was an optics to it. There was a stigma to it, right? You know, there was an embarrassment, but it happened. And once I was able internally to externally express that, everything opened up to me. The vulnerability, right? It sounds so cliche. Everyone talks about vulnerability, but it's really true because people could relate to that, right? People could relate to, I've been there before. Yeah, that happened to me. The best of the best have been fired. Right? The best of the best. Everyone's had down points. And listen, not everything always works out, and it's not always a reflection on you. And I think what's really important is to not let that one moment define you, not go down that rabbit hole. Don't let that, you know, put you into a tailspin, and really come out of that. And I'm not trying to be Tony Robbins or rah-rah guru here. And I'm not even trying to be Gary fucking V, right? That's not what I'm trying to be. I'm just trying to be me. And, you know, that's really what has accelerated everything is just being open, honest, vulnerable, transparent. I mean, listen, there's some things I keep, you know, private. I think everyone should as well too, but I share my story and I hope to really inspire people.
What I'd like to do before bringing Mike back in, actually, so it's like, of course, this podcast called Value Through Vulnerability. What were some of those things? It might be interesting for the listeners. What did you do, or what did you do as Adam to work through that, going from it being, you know, shameful in your own ways to being able to deal with the acknowledgement or the empathy with yourself? Like, what went on for you then? Was it, did you have sort of coaching? Was it just personal development? You know, what's part of your journey? Can you bring that to
mind
for us?
It was interesting. And I think it was something that was kind of rattling around in my head for a little bit. I felt that I was holding something back. I felt that I wasn't being truthful. And it came out on a podcast. I think it was I was on Greg Brenner's podcast. And I was telling my story like I do here. And instead of saying I left or I said it wasn't right, I just said it. Literally, it's like pulling off a Band-Aid. And I just said it. And I felt this like cathartic, like, just like everything came out, and I was like, holy shit, this is great. And I could just freely talk about it. And I just let it flow, man. And that's honestly, it was something that was building up inside of me. And I felt like I was holding back. I felt like I wasn't telling the whole story. And that moment was huge. You know, that moment, you know, really opened up a lot.
So it's almost as if there was just in that moment, there was a change in your thinking about yourself. For whatever reason, something just dissolved.
I can't put my finger on it. Maybe I just had enough, you know, maybe I just had enough, you know, hiding or not being fully truthful. Maybe I felt that, you know, the story just needed to come out. You know, there's a lot of things there. It just happened, man.
It's so powerful, because I remember there's a story I tell very openly about when I actually, I burnt myself out a number of years ago, Adam. And the reason I say I burnt myself out is because I overthought my way. Yeah, the stories I told myself, you know, you're not good enough, you're in the wrong place. And right. At some point, I just sat there, similar sort of thing. Like, it's almost miraculous. You're sitting there, you just go, bang. And suddenly it's like a weight being lifted off your shoulder. And like, it's not that you had to do anything for that to happen, I don't think. I'm guessing.
Dissolved. It's vulnerability, right? And I think a lot of people try to be vulnerable, but I think the best vulnerability happens naturally. You know, and I think people could smell it. I think that people know when someone's really just being open and honest versus, you know, just talking about it. And I think that comes down to authenticity. And I think authenticity and vulnerability go hand in hand.
And what's happening with you in terms of you and your business? So I'm really interested in, you know, when someone comes to you, whether it be a client, whether it be actually a candidate, etc. Is it this, like, this what you're sharing with us on this podcast? Are people drawn into that? Do people want to come and, you know, work with Adam because of role modeling this vulnerability and approach?
I hope so. I really hope so, because you need to differentiate yourself, especially as a small business owner. Listen, there's a lot of folks in the recruiting game. Recruiting is a low barrier to entry business. Anybody could do it, right? But people buy from people. People want to work with people. People work on relationships. You know, the long game, and Mike and I have talked about this. I've had Mike on my show. All of us have had lots of dialogue about it. I play the long game. Right. I believe in relationships. I believe in relationship karma. I believe in doing things the right way. And I think that resonates in everything that I do. And also, I put out a very good, high quality, high touch product. Like, let's talk about that as well, too. It's one thing to be great in front of the camera. It's one thing to build a brand, but you have to back it up with the deliverables. Right. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in, you know, managing that talent process, delivering great candidates, you know, managing that relationship. And I think it all blends together. It's all one package. But the truth is, you know, how do you differentiate yourself in this market? Why do folks want to work with me? Why do they want to work with NHP Talent Group? And it's because of, you know, the relationship. It's because of the product that we deliver and just keeping everything, you know, on the up and up. You know, I do things the right way. I don't want to have any regrets. And recruiting's a cutthroat business. There's a lot of folks in this industry that do things the wrong way. And that's just not who I am. And that's not the way I like to live. And that's not the example I want to set for my kids.
And how powerful is that? That last statement for me, Adam. The example I want to set for my kids. And I'd love to maybe, I'm going to come in with a little bit of a challenge. So it's a bit, you're coming up on your podcast. I think it's actually tonight. You know, talking about race, talking about inclusion.
Yeah, a couple hours.
So Maybe speak a little bit about that, because I'm really interested. You know, recruitment is a critically important part of the talent function. Like, how does that play into what you're doing or your intentionality around MHB right now?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. And you know, I always say your people are the lifeblood of your company, right? I mean, yes, the product is important, but your people really, you know, are your company. And the recruitment process is the first step for any new employee, obviously, coming into your company, right? So that recruiter is your ultimate brand ambassador. They have to be able to tell your brand story. They have to be able to articulate it well. They have to be able to understand the job function. They have to be able to understand the business and really have a informed conversation with the candidate. And I think that's really what's critical too. And as that conversation transitions into, you know, what we're talking about today, which is diversity, inclusion, removing bias from recruiting, you know, a good organization, the culture really is a fabric, right? And the fabric is made up of different color threads. And it's important for all those threads to be, you know, unique, different strengths, different weaknesses, different, you know, things that they bring to the table too. And that all starts with recruiting, right? It all starts with the type of people that you bring into your company, the expectations, the process, you know, really understanding, you know, how to give everybody a fair chance in the process, because ultimately that's what's going to make up your company.
How intentional do you think, and again, it's a big question, Adam, but I'm just trying to get your viewpoint on it. How intentional is the recruitment industry, inverted commas, around making sure there is diverse candidates, that there is diversity going through that early stage of the pipe?
I mean, it really depends on company to company. I think that some companies naturally attract a very diverse candidate pool. And I think other companies, and let's just be honest about it, based on the actual niche and based on the industry, you know, there's different, you know, folks that come in from different sectors, right? And that comes down to education, it comes down to skills. And, you know, listen, we could talk for hours on systemic racism and how that affects the recruiting process, education and all that. But let's focus on where it comes to right now. How do companies ensure that everybody has a fair chance, right? How does everybody have an equal opportunity to apply, screen, interview, and hopefully get hired? And that's a conversation we're gonna have today. So, you know, the whole thing is, you know, I struggled for a couple of weeks with everything going on, you know, as I think a lot of us did too, is what could I do? What should I say? And for me, it's like, listen, I have a platform. I have a show, I have a live show, I have a podcast. How could I, you know, use this to facilitate uncomfortable conversations that are gonna move the needle forward? And that's what I decided to do. And that's the action I decided to take.
And it's a brilliant anti-racist step that you took, because the first conversation, or the one that I heard a couple of weeks ago, was sensational. So credit to you, Adam. I want to really throw that out. Like, it wasn't it was such a pragmatic, constructive debate. And I think more of that is needed. And hi, Mike, what's coming up for you, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I love the initiative and the you know, the candor that you bring to the conversations. That's what's, you know, getting out of the I don't know, the comfort zone, right? And going to kind of the no bullshit area of discovery, right? Because it's you know, the making great change is to stop doing what we're doing now. And that's the thing that people are having, I think, the most trouble embracing, is you can't have somebody else make it better. You got to make it better yourself. Yeah. And as you grow, then you demonstrate where it can go. And I think you're just doing that really well.
Thank you. And I think everybody has to feel what's comfortable for them. What action do you feel? And honestly, man, you know, I mean, I don't want to get political here. I don't really want to get into it. But, you know, if you decide to not take action, that's a choice as well, too. You have to do what feels right. You have to do what feels right in your heart, and to do it for the right reasons. And what change you're gonna affect. And I see it too on the front line too. I mean, listen, I would be lying, and I'm gonna talk about this later when I do the live show too. I think that everybody, and you, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna take a stance. I think everyone has unconscious bias. No matter what color you are, you have a bias. I guarantee, at some point in the last 5 years of recruiting, 100% that I've scanned past a resume, I've scanned past an application, I've scanned past a LinkedIn profile, subconsciously in my head for some reason, whether the way the person looked, what their name looked like, where they lived, and that's called unconscious bias. So what do we do with these micro steps to remove that? What do we do? What are these steps that we could take to give everybody a fair chance? We're not gonna change things overnight. We're not gonna change things 100%. We'd be lying if we said we are. Right. But these are the small steps. And that really, you know, goes into the whole movement, too. It's like just ensuring that everybody has a fair shake in the process.
Yeah, I love that, Adam. And, you know, with that, so the microaggressions that come out of that, right?
100%.
We're just not on, you know, we're not aware of them. So the trick is become aware of them. Of course I have unconscious bias.
Do.
I also have conscious bias. I've made up my mind about things through my experiences in life. Am I willing to reevaluate those?
And are you entitled to have them?
Right, right. So I think it's understanding them, not denying them. It's just like, because I have this bias, I must be right. My point of view and my experiences are the solid ground to stand on. And then we realize that, well, I am standing on just one dot. What's the dot everyone else is standing on? What's their point of entry into the conversation? And what we lack in so much of that, and I think you explore so well with people, is what's your curiosity?
It's so funny. Use that word curiosity. And I think that's one of the most valuable. And you know, we talk about soft skills too. Curiosity, being inquisitive, right? I mean, in any profession, in anything that you do, having a genuine interest in somebody else, in something else. Like, I care enough to really ask you, not just say how you're doing, but like, what are you up to? What are you working on? You know, tell me what's good. Tell me what's working. Tell me what's not working, right? Like, and I tell that to candidates all the time. Be inquisitive. Ask, you know, what problems are currently happening in your organization that you need someone like myself to solve, right? I mean, that's part of the interview process as well, too. You know, you need to be inquisitive. You need to ask the right questions.
So good. So good, Adam. Loving this. I'd love to take a little bit of a segue. What have you, as Adam, learned most about yourself over the last 12 weeks? Or something new? What's something new, yeah, or what have you learned more about yourself?
So it's pretty fascinating. So there's a word that I've always, there's a concept, and the concept is being invaluable, right? And I think that's really what has put me from being on the defense to the offense over the last 4 months and actually doubled my business, which is incredible. And being invaluable is something that I've always done. It's just not a word I always think about. And I think that's why, you know, I really build business and I build relationships, because it's not just always going for the sell. It's not always going for the ask. It's adding value at every step of the process. How could I help my clients? How could I help my friends? How could I help my family? So that way, when the time comes, in rough times like this, when there may not be a lot of business and then business comes back in, you're at the top of that list. So I learned that being invaluable is one of my key assets. And that's something that I talk about with a lot of other recruiters offline. You know, we have a lot of chats on how to help them, you know, with their business as well too. So I learned that I have these traits inside of me that have been built up over 20 years of working, 20 years of building relationships. It's also crazy to say I've been working for 20 years. It's like mind boggling. And that's something I truly learned is these pieces that I've had inside that are coming out now. And I also, you know, I talk a lot about on my show, and it's a theme, it's a course, tenacity. And tenacity is what's going to pull you up during these tough times, right? Like, tenacity is that thing that drives you. Tenacity is what pulled you, Gary, you know, up out of the well, what pulled you, Mike, you know, when you were down standing in your kitchen. And that's something that I think we all have it inside of us. I think every human has it, but it's learning how to tap into it and how to throttle it when you need it.
Mike, do you know what I love about this? So what you just spoke to for me, which is fascinating, as two tracks, leading with generosity and tenacity. What a powerful combination to be conscious of.
And tenacity for me, like, you know, it wasn't until there was two phases of my tenacity. The first phase came up when I went from, you know, working in a salary position to moving over in a commission-based business. And that tenacity got tapped into the fact that I needed to earn money and I needed to throttle up and really tap into that driver, right? To be more productive, to maybe not fall back on some of my lazy habits, right? To kind of break through some of those things in the past, some of those like work habits, maybe like, you know, not putting in all the effort here, not putting all the effort there, you know, leveling that up, being organized, doing the follow through, like throttling that up. And then it took it to another level when I launched my own business. And that's a whole other ball game. And that kind of takes me to where I am today, where, you know, I've been in business for, you know, August will be my 3-year anniversary, which is absolutely insane. And I'm like, you know what? I look back on the last few months, Corona aside, you know what? I've seen some stagnation in my business and now it's time to throttle up. And I made the conscious decision to invest money and capital into my business to scale it. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm working with a fantastic business coach and I think everyone really needs to consider working with the right business coach, because you need somebody to look at that 10,000 view. someone who's who doesn't know you personally, or maybe they do a little bit, but they could work on your mental blocks and they could also work on your business blocks, because that's the only way to accelerate, right? Because if I stay in my lane with my horse blinders on, no one, you know, I need that accountability. You know, we talk about that word accountability. When you're a business owner, where's the accountability? And that's why I think coaching is so important. So I decided to make that investment. And I said, you know what, Corona aside, I really don't give a shit. That doesn't matter to me. I've been on the offense since Corona hit. And now I'm going to double down on that and just take it to the next level. I mean, the economy is going to get back up. There's a lot of great recruiters out there who are looking for work. There's a lot of companies. There's a lot of companies who are going to be scaling up, and they do not want to make the investment in a full-time hire recruiter. And this is where this business model works. Putting in skilled, not just recruiters, but these are consultants. These are plug and play folks that could come into your company and really, you know, be that middle person between the hiring manager, the candidate, and really getting it done. And that's the opportunity. It's, you know what? I live this life one shot. I got one shot at this. Let's put some money into it and let's get it done. That's tenacity.
I love the word tenacity. And, you know, tenacity is so often misunderstood, right? People kind of recoil and say, well, gosh, that's really, it's aggressive, it's too pushy, and right? And it's a beautiful word. And for those that want to reframe tenacity, I think this is really important. I use often the metaphor of an orchestra. Many different instruments, many different skills, right? And each one of those individuals practices their particular instrument constantly with tenacity. To perfect it, you can't perfect it. And then you bring all of those elements together, all those different people, and they go to a live assembly and they play that music seeking perfection, which they cannot do. There will be errors in that, but they never give up on that quest for the perfect performance, for the perfect execution of their instrument and their skills that they practice continually.
It's a drive.
And that is, you know, another beautiful illustration of what you just said that you're applying in real life. I'm hiring a coach. I'm going into practice, right? I'm doing the reps. I'm looking through a different lens. I'm exploring my strengths and weaknesses so I can double down again. It's beautiful. It's just great, great illustration.
Thank you. It's hard too, because I've also recognized that I need to break down the walls of things that I've been doing, repeating, and that things are not working. For example, business development. It's something that I've literally taken my foot off the throttle for the last 12 months. And when you look at it from a business perspective, you know, new business is the lifeblood of any company. I mean, we all know that, right? And so what happens is when you take your throttle off it, and you know, I knew it. I knew that I needed to put this down, put the throttle down and start working on the new business, but I didn't do it until the coach came on board and we started to work on a plan, and we started to take bite-sized pieces, you know, looking micro and macro. How are we going to do this? We're going to test into it. And you look at simple numbers, and he's like, listen, he's like, all you have to do is literally get three more clients and you're going to hit that number, that financial number you're going to get. Let's back into it. Let's reverse engineer on how to get there. And it's, you know, it sounds so crazy too. He's like, listen, you have 100 prospective clients. Right? All you need is three of them, right? Make it attainable. You need three of them to get to that goal. But I wouldn't have that vision and mindset because I'm so, you know, tunnel vision on what I'm doing the day to day in the trenches with my current clients that I'm not focusing on the big picture of growing this business. And I need to learn how to scale. I need to learn, you know, I know these things that I'm not good at. So I said, you know, one of the big things about being a business owner is understanding when to outsource. When to understand how to get somebody who knows something that I don't know to help me learn it or do it for me or pay for it. I like all these concepts of learning how to run a business, and I'm getting to that stage, but I also recognize it's only 3 years in. You know, I'm 41 years old and I got this huge runway ahead of me. You know, I got another 25, 30 years of building this business and building a legacy, and that's what it's all about.
So cool. Look, as we start to wrap up, I'd love to just sort of invite us to think a little bit again, from that sort of human element, like that tenacity word for me is really interesting, because I see what you're speaking to, Adam, being like tenacity, practice, yeah, evolution. Like there's something around, and I'm just wondering what you speak to in terms of some of your skills, your strengths. Like, what does that look like? If someone's listening to us now going, my God, tenacity, I get it. like I want to be able to be, but no, I want to be more courageous, or I want to be more vulnerable, or I want to listen better. Like, what would you invite them to, like, is it about going out? Is it about investing in themselves? Is that the number one best thing they can do if they want to really build up this tenacity?
I think Mike hit it on the head. It's the reps. It's about putting in the reps. It's about, you know, trying things. It's about doing things. It's about stepping out of your comfort zone, right? That's where you get the most gains, right? If we talk about, you know, working out and all that, I mean, obviously I do not, but Mike is, I hope I look that good in number, right? Like you have to put the reps in, right? The muscles don't come overnight, right? You don't get ripped and shredded overnight. You don't get strong overnight. It's putting in the reps and breaking through. I mean, Mike, I mean, give us a workout analogy. There's probably tons of exercises that you hate doing, but you do them because you know you have to grow that part of the body.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's on leg days, there are several in the routine.
Hate them.
And, you know, they're tough. And you push through them because I need a strong back.
The legs support the back. The back supports the whole body. Exactly.
You know, and people miss that, right? It's like, I don't care how big my biceps are, but I really care how I can get around, you know, when the calendar flips to 60 in January for me. And because that's important, right? Because I want to feel like you feel now. I want to stay charged up and stay tenacious, because there's things to do, right? And there's impact to make. And so I, you know, it is those reps, and you know, as we mature in business or as we get older in age, it becomes more difficult to have the discipline to go do it. And it takes more time because we don't have the elasticity. We don't respond as well. And that's both in business and physically, but it's critically important.
You got to break through. You got to find the breakthroughs, right? And the older you get, the worse your habits are.
That's what happens. And that's where, you know, we look at some of the gurus out there that they're going to tell you the way they did it. They're not going to look at what works now, what needs to change. And that rigidity is not tenacity.
No, it's the opposite of it.
Yes. Yes. Tenacity is the flexibility to have the agility to continue to adapt and change and grow and lead. Otherwise, you're just, you know, sitting still telling stories.
Yeah, no one wants to do that. No one wants to do that. And I think you also just have to remember, you know, what is that fuel? What is that fire? You know, how do you keep that fire lit? And I think that once that fire starts to go out, that's when you really have to look inside and say, why am I doing this? Am I enjoying it? Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Am I surrounded by the right people? And that's a very big picture thing too. Cause listen, there's days. I mean, listen, I'll tell you, a couple of weeks ago, there was one day I just didn't feel like doing anything. And I had some stuff to do on my plate. It could wait till the next day, but I recognized that the motivation wasn't there. And I said, I'm going to take a time out today. And then, you know, I spent the rest of the day with my kids, and it reminded me of everything that I do, you know, this house, this life, all these material things that, you know what, material things are important, right? Cause they make you happy. Like, I don't care what anyone says, right? There's a reason we do it all. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing my kids happy. I'm seeing everyone around me happy. And I'm like, okay, fire's lit. You know, I'm taking this day as a breather and I'm going to get back to it tomorrow. And I was, you know, twice as strong and fired up. So you got to take those mental breaks as well to keep that fire lit.
Yeah. I think you need to know what environment you want, right? If you want to be alone in a tiny house in a parking lot, then go
that's
for
cool.
it.
That's cool.
But when you recognize that's not going to, you know, put me in the place I want to be, then, you know, go make it happen. Be where you want to be.
Exactly.
What an amazing chat. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm on fire and motivated. Don't know what you're like if you're joining
me. You got to cool off of that waterfall behind you.
There will be a blooper going out. Mike, Adam in particular, thank you so much for joining us today. Like, your energy, your enthusiasm, your drive is infectious. And you're just a great human being, my friends. I really appreciate you spending the time with us. And thanks
likewise
for doing all your good work as well and using your platform for good.
Like, thank you.
Looking forward to listening in tonight.
Yeah. And Adam, you know, every day you show up and you have that hand reached out, offering to help somebody else, right? Take my hand. You'll help them. It'll help them through. And,
it's the only way.
And you know, sometimes it doesn't come through in, you know, when we hear people or we watch what we're doing, or, you know, you watch with that business acumen that you go after things. But I know this, that you believe in people every day, and that's a big difference you make. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. So how can people find you, Adam, if people are interested to connect with you? What's the best
way? Yes. The business side is nhptalentgroup.com for all things recruiting and marketing, advertising and media. And the show is thepodcast.com. You can find all the shows there. I got some really good ones coming up as we approach episode number 100. And then we're going to take a little shift on the show. So a little sneak preview, rebranding, rethinking the show. There's going to be a new focus to it. I don't know if the cartoon graphics are going to be there any longer, but we'll see.
We're waiting in suspenders.
Yes, so am I.
We look forward to that. Have a great evening. Thanks a lot, Adam. Cheers, Mike.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining myself, Adam Posner, and Mike Vacanti for this wide-ranging conversation today. I just wanted to share a few of my key takeaways from this discussion with Adam. And I think one of the first ones I'd like to start with is where he shared that your people are the lifeblood of your company. The recruiter is your ultimate brand ambassador. As someone that worked in recruitment 20 years ago, and I hope it's moved on a little bit since then, but back then I remember getting training back at Reed Employment, and they actually said to me, view everyone that comes through that door as a bag of money. There was clearly either a disconnect between the experience that the organization wanted to offer in the market and what the recruitment consultant was after, or something else was going on. But I just remember that so, so clearly. And I just think Adam really blows that apart from the point of view that, you know, truly seeing your recruitment partners as an extension of your brand in the market, I think is so, so important. I wonder what your thoughts are and what maybe you would challenge. Also, I really enjoyed it when Adam shared that a good organization, the culture is really the fabric, and the fabric is made up of different colored threads. And it's important for those different threads to be unique, different strengths, different weaknesses, and that all starts with recruiting. I talk a lot about a kaleidoscope when I try and think about human experience and how connected and interdependent we all are. But I really love this idea of the culture of an organization being a fabric or a tapestry. And you really need various different types of, as Adam says, different strengths, different weaknesses, different uniqueness, different colors. It's just such a beautiful, visceral image for me of what culture actually feels and looks like. And I just wonder if that resonates as much with you as it does with me. And finally, the point I'd like to share with you that really, really hit home with me from Adam was when he said that one of the big things about being a business owner is understanding when to outsource. And this relates to me to being vulnerable, you know, seeking help when you need it. And I'm an absolute pain in the backside in some ways when it comes to this with regards to this podcast. You know, I spend a number of hours every week reviewing, cutting clips, doing art for it. You know, at the end of the day, could I outsource that? I potentially could. But there's then a cost benefit analysis. So it's really, really interesting for me, that point. At what point do you actually pay somebody else to take the work off your hands? And I just think that's a really, really important lesson, regardless of whether you're a business owner, as in Adam's case, or indeed if you work within a team. You know, at what point do you say, I need help, or I've got too much on, or I don't have all of the skills to be able to make the best of this. All the best for now. Take care. Really hoping that you enjoyed that exploration on the Value Through Vulnerability podcast. You can find out much more about Hexo Change at hexochangenow.com. That's hexochangenow.com. You can subscribe to a weekly newsletter at that website, which includes information about live stream conversations, further service offerings, blogs, but also our in-person events, of which we have multiple each year. So I really hope that you'll join us. Do connect with me, Gary Turner, on LinkedIn, and I really hope to hear from you soon.